The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
So this is one of those games where you lose the game, but you oddly feel better about what you saw than last night when you win the game and you couldn't help but question, man, how did the Bucks win that game against the Detroit Pistons, against the shorthanded Detroit Pistons in a game that didn't give you a whole lot to be encouraged by? Now, we do have to point out, Giannis was ejected from that game and for all intents and purposes did not play basically at all in the second half. Ejected 3 minutes into the third quarter. That was a huge swing on the game, especially in one that you played without Chris Middleton. Tonight, I didn't have very high expectations for this game because everything we touched on our pregame, it's a Pacers team that plays at the second highest pace in the league. They're an up-tempo team. They have some very strong guard play, and that has been, I'm not going to say kryptonite, but it has been a problem for the Bucks thus far this season. They hit a lot of threes. They can stretch the defense. They had bigs that can score. All of these things on paper added up to, man, everything we've touched on and everything we've pointed out when it comes to the Bucks' struggles, Pacers do all of those things pretty well. On paper, this didn't seem like a good matchup. And when you watched the opening quarter, you thought, yeah, this is kind of what I expected. And then suddenly that team showed some fight. And I think the balance that we've continued to see for the last handful of games is Adrian Griffin basically playing different ways. You have Brook Lopez. You know what his strengths are. You know where you have to play him. That adjustment was made. We've seen a much better version of Brook Lopez since that Knicks game. More block shots tonight. Three block shots tonight for Brook Lopez. Giannis has been much better as a help defender, as the guy that's cleaning up on the weak side and coming over, and he's the catch-all. He's that safety net. But when we really see a spark from this team, and let me be clear, I'm not saying this is the Bucks' best group or this is the Bucks' best lineup and these guys need to start. They should definitely be playing more. But where we've seen the spark more often than not is in those lineups where Andre Jackson Jr. and Marjon Beauchamp are on the floor together. And I think with all of the younger guys, you've seen more adaptability and more comfort in this system that the Bucks are running this season. The reason is simple. When we talk about Chris and Giannis and Brook Lopez especially, those three guys, they have played a much different style for the last 5 years. And not only that, they played together. 5 years. You're asking them to unlearn everything that they have done and break those habits. That's easier for young guys to do who have only known one system than it is for vets. And I think that's a big reason why we've seen those minutes where Andre Jackson, where Marjon Beauchamp, those guys are on the floor and it seems like, man, this zone is working. Andre Jackson also may be the best perimeter defender the Bucks have on this roster right now. But that's the reason to me why we're seeing this spark from the young guys. But I was encouraged by what Adrian Griffin said after the game about Andre Jackson. That, and of course, what Adrian Griffin did in this game, I do want to touch on that. Because for the last handful of years, last 3 years especially, all we've heard from a majority of Bucks fans is you wanted a coach that would do things different. You wanted a coach that would make adjustments. You wanted a coach that would throw out variations of looks, and we weren't just running the same system. I want a coach that'll do things differently. I want a coach that's going to stand up for Giannis. I want a coach that's not afraid to get ejected. You asked for it, and you've gotten that 8 games into this season, and it seems as though the jury is still out on Adrian Griffin, at least with Bucks fans. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. What have you seen from Adrian Griffin so far this season? I'm not asking for any bold proclamations, because 8 games is not even close to enough to start to form an opinion, good or bad, on a coach, on a player, etc., on a system that you're running. But your early impressions from Adrian Griffin, what we've seen through these first 8 games of the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. It's an interesting stretch in the schedule for the Bucks. We'll get to that as well. I mentioned they go to Orlando on Saturday, a nice 5 o'clock tip-off. And then you got a couple of teams next week that one of them you feel like, look, we should win this game. The other is a nice revenge game, and it's going to be a nice barometer to see where is this team grown in 2 weeks. Maybe not a whole lot of time, but we know how the Bucks looked the first time they played the Raptors. Assuming you're going to have all your guys for that, how are they going to look a second time around, and what adjustments, as we mentioned that adjustment word, what adjustments are they going to make for that second game in Toronto? But again, the number to join us tonight, 855-616-1620. As the Bucks ultimately fall short tonight on a nearly historic night from Giannis, 46 points through 3 quarters. When he got to 40 in the third quarter, I think we were all thinking, well, he's going to get to 50. And that ultimately begs the question, is that 57 number finally going to fall? We'll get to your thoughts on Giannis, and I do want to know your 8 games in takeaways on Adrian Griffin. We'll get to that as well after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks fall short in Indianapolis, losing by 2 to the Pacers, 126-124. But there's more positives than negatives to take away from this game. We can touch on Giannis. The strides we've seen, I don't want to jinx it, but the strides we've seen at the free throw line from Giannis, he got some numbers to back that up. Another instance of Giannis getting ever so close to the franchise scoring mark before ultimately falling short. But most importantly, I am very curious to get your thoughts on the first 8 games of Adrian Griffin. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Let's head to Heartland and talk with Stash. You lead things off. What's going on?
Hey, do these have to be coach questions?
No, whatever you got.
Looking at today's roster and their championship, to play themselves, we have Giannis, Chris, Brooke, Pat, Bobby, and Thanasis. Now I figure we have Damian to replace Drew, AJ to replace Bryn, Margin to replace Jeff Teague, but I don't know who we have to replace Tucker. And I don't know who Robin Lopez is supposed to replace on our championship team.
Well, that's a great question. I think, thanks for the call, Stash. I think you'd point to Jay Crowder as the PJ Tucker replacement. Bob in Appleton, you're up next on the show.
He's our best defender?
Jay Crowder?
Yeah.
He's one of them. He's one of them. You have anything about tonight's game?
Yeah, I wish everything came through like you said, where you got his highest scoring and franchise record and most important, a win.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for the call, Stash. Let's check in with Bob in Appleton. What's going on, Bob?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, really appreciate your synopsis after each game. You really hit things right in the head. Just a couple of things. It's nice to see the new coach switching defenses now and then, like last night when he dropped into that 2-3 periodically and goes back to his man. That's just a real positive thing. You mentioned his perimeter defense. Well, it hasn't existed in the past 2 nights, so that needs some improvement. Don't you disagree? I mean, they got torched pretty much last night by the 3 points, and they gave up 23 pointers tonight. You know, that's quite a bit. So, you know, that'll come down the road. I think, you know, they're a very fragile team, as I think you've noted. And if one guy from that starting group doesn't play a full game, they're going to be hurting for a while until that bench starts coming around. And I just hope the big guy can go for maybe 70-some games out of the 82 games. You ride him too much, and, boy, you know, one sprained ankle or something, and it's a fragile team. So I think good things will happen, and that bench will get a little bit stronger. I hope their shooting improves a tad bit, but it was still a great night to watch, and they got some tough games coming up. Thanks for getting me on the air, okay?
Thanks. Yeah, you bet. Thanks for the call, Bob. I think, look, the other part is the perimeter defense, as we've pointed out, has certainly not been up to par. But when we say it's going to take time, this is part of what it's going to be a process. And the thing that I would point to in terms of encouragement is, while it hasn't happened enough in terms of the 48 minutes of the game, it does seem like in the five wins and tonight in the loss, we have seen at least pockets, and it's usually been late, pockets of the defense showing more connectivity and playing much better. And really, up until the fourth quarter tonight, the second and third quarter, after a disastrous start, that defense was night and day different. So you just have to keep building on that and eventually get to 48 minutes. Dick in Port Washington up next. How's it going tonight, Dick? I notice your guy didn't really do anything on the floor tonight.
Well, he did what he should do, and that's stay on the bench. But let's get away from that. Now, I hope your screen here gives me. I got 3 points I want to make here, and the first one is, you know, with what happened in Wisconsin sports with the manager of the Brewers leaving. One of the things I never heard about is in relation to that, is how great Giannis has been in being loyal to Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. And it kind of gets me upset that it hasn't been mentioned. He has embraced us and has put us as part of his needs, where I'm not so sure that could be said for the Brewers manager. But that's all I want to say about that. The second part is your questions about Adrian Griffin, and I've been pleased. I think he's doing things that we've never seen from Bud. Bud, in the early parts of the season, would throw out a lot of the guys off the bench for the sake of doing it. What I see with Griffin is that he's throwing guys in roles that he expects them to excel in to help us later in the year. I don't think he can take any discussion with any of this unless we've been at the 21 to 25 game mark. I every time, every game, except for the two real clunkers, I've seen improvement. Now, my son texted me. He said, yeah, there was no defense tonight. I differed with him. I thought our defense tonight was really hustling. The zone was great. And correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe you can't do this with a zone, but I thought our zone switching was quite good tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was really good. And he's willing to try things. And another thing, and I love Bud. He's got my plaque on the wall here that says 2021 NBA Finals Champs. But it wasn't often that you ever heard him take the blame the way Griffin has done through these first couple of games. And I don't think it's not frosting on the cake. I think it's sincere. And tonight was the perfect example. On post-game show, he was saying, yeah, you know, I wanted to protect Giannis, but, you know, I got to find a way that's a little bit more polite or something like that to that effect. And I think that's good. And I'd like to respond to that. And I just got one more point about the tourney that's going on now. What do you think, Justin, of what I said?
Okay, so I want to start with the rotations in your comparison to Bud, because I agree, and I think a lot of what we saw with Bud – We have a similar feeling of Butt. Like, I'm not, I don't have anything bad to say about Mike Budenholzer because he won one of two titles in franchise history. He lifted this franchise up and made them a perennial contender. So Bud was a very, very good coach. And I think especially at the time of the firing, a lot of people lost sight of that. But one of the things that you pointed to was it did seem like a lot of the rotations and minutes for guys, specifically the bench guys early in the season, the purpose behind it was to just save minutes for your stars. It wasn't so much to advance them or to put them in those spots. And I think it's been a complete opposite from Adrian Griffin. When you look at some of the spots he's put Marjan Beauchamp in this season, you think about, I think it was the Hawks game where Marjan picked up three quick fouls and he left him out there, and not only left him out there on Trae Young to basically say, look, you're going to have to learn on the fly because we think you're going to be a part of the rotation. We think you're going to play in the playoffs. These are things you're going to go through. Those are the matchups you're going to have defensively. So I want you to figure it out and figure out how not to get that fourth foul. And I think that's important for young guys to work through mistakes, especially if you think they're going to be a part of your team. The other part of it, too, is when you listened to what he said tonight about Andre Jackson, because I think it's not going to be long before Andre Jackson starts to become the darling of Bucks fans and more calls for why isn't he playing as much, because it's pretty clear right now he may be the best perimeter defender that the Bucks have, and he just brings an energy with him every time he's on the floor. Coach Griff has talked about that energy that he brings as well, but he specifically singled him out after the game and mentioned how, look, he's going to be important. I don't know when, but he's going to be an important part for our team moving forward. It could be this year. It could be next year. But he's definitely a piece of our future. For him to say that, and again, it's not a right or wrong. Yeah. You just would have never heard that under Bud.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You would never, never. Those guys just, yeah, like you said, they took minutes up. I mean, that was it, you know.
As far as the in-season tournament, I mean, I have no problem with it. It's
yeah, okay. I guess here I got a couple of points here, Justin. Okay, first of all, maybe I'm missing something here, but then I turned that into PTI, pardon the interruption, and Mike Wilbon just blasted this thing.
Not
just
surprised.
A marketing tool. Did you? I don't know if you saw that or not.
I saw the comments. And, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I don't get, okay? So we played Miami already, and we beat them. But yet, we can lose to them in this tournament weeks from now. What kind of tournament has games separated by 2 weeks?
Well, so
I dare you tomorrow, anybody you pass on the street tomorrow, ask them, what's the standings of the NBA tournament? No one's going to know. You can't even find it on the internet. Because there are no standings.
Well, actually, there are.
A tournament should be played. Well, there are, but
if
a tournament should be played in successive procedures, games after games after game, okay? People are going to lose track of this. They don't know. Look at, I got a Bucks schedule, I think it's from Michelob. Harder than hell to even see what games are on there because they ran out of dots and stuff to put on the schedule. No one knows what's going on with this thing. And I think Wilbon put it succinctly. He said, yeah, we've got a problem in November. Once December hits, it's fine. Why didn't the NBA take 2 weeks, schedule games in sequence to become a real tournament so people could follow it? It's like no one knows what's going on. It just doesn't make sense to me. I follow this no matter when it is, but there's so many people. I've talked to people about the tournament. They said, oh, what tournament? Okay. To me, a tournament is the NCAA. That's what people think. The NBA dropped the ball on this. There's no cohesiveness to this. I understand it. Wilbon got me to that point where, yeah, I think it's necessary to build up the thing, but do it during a sequence where people can actually get a bracket, okay, follow it, get a pool going on the games. No one cares about this. That's my take on it.
All right. I'm going to be curious to see next year. And thanks for the call, Dick. We got to reset the clock here. Bucks don't have another game in the in-season tournament for another week. So there's a lot of time to catch up on the particulars as far as you're concerned, so that we can get into it coming up next here and go through some of these specifics with the in-season tournament. But the question remains, the broad statement for the show tonight is I am very curious to hear from the audience. It's just eight games, and I have been on record a number of times saying let's not just jump to conclusions at 10% of the way through the season. I'm not asking is Adrian Griffin good or bad, but eight games in, what have you seen from him? Your overall impression on what we've seen from Adrian Griffin. We'll get to that. I want to hear from you some more after we come back. And also, we'll clean up some of what Dick was asking about the in-season tournament so you guys are informed and ready for it when it resumes for the Bucks November 17th. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk. All right, so for Dick specifically, since he may... He's on the Mount Rushmore of most loyal callers and listeners to the show. So the in-season tournament is, I think, what is tripping him up and a lot of people that may think, well, how is this a tournament? Or I don't understand how this works. The in-season tournament is not actually a tournament until we get to December. So you're in group play now. The Bucks played the Miami Heat already, but it wasn't part of their group play. That is not until they play again at the end of this month. So their next in-season tournament game for group play is going to be 1 week from tomorrow when they're in Charlotte playing the Hornets. Then the following week, you play the Wizards at home. And then the week after that, you wrap up your group play against the Miami Heat. So you got five teams in your group. There are six groups, three in each conference. The team that finishes with the best record in each group advances to the quarterfinals, and then you will have one wild card team. So the team with the best record that didn't win their group in each conference, they'll advance, giving us our eight tournament teams, and that's when the tournament and the quarterfinals begin the first week of December. So basically, it's set up like this, so you don't have to overcomplicate the schedule, because these are all regular season games and it has no impact on NBA scheduling, because even teams that don't advance, you're still going to play games that same week. The losers in the quarterfinals will play games against each other. So that's why you see a lot of TBD on the Bucks schedule that first week of December. Depends on if they advance in the tournament or if they lose in the tournament. Either way, they're playing. The only teams whose schedule will be impacted are those two teams that play for the championship, because they'll play an 83rd game. So that's the complications behind this in-season tournament and the scheduling and trying to have this all within your NBA schedule and regular season games. The other thing that Dick brought up was defense, and we've already touched on this a couple of times the last few nights. I do agree with what he said, that now the Bucks were playing defense, and I think we saw more of it tonight. Again, you're still not close to 48 minutes of defense. From the start, my point was, or my stance was, they're clearly, they being the Bucks, clearly going to take a step backward defensively. You don't lose Drew Holiday and remain the top defense or a top three defense. I know Giannis is a good defender. Brooke Lopez is a great rim protector. But that system was set up to get Drew Holiday at the point of attack, funneling those guys into your rim protectors. Right now, there's nobody on the perimeter that's funneling things. You're playing a little higher. You're pressuring the ball. And it's a best-case scenario, worst-case scenario when you play that type of defense. You're going to get a lot more steals. You're also going to commit a lot more fouls, and you're going to give up a lot of blow-bys when you're pressuring that far away from the basket and just trying to create those turnovers. Sometimes you'll strike gold, like we saw Bobby Portis a couple of times. Sometimes you're just going to be blown past and you're putting pressure on Brooke Lopez. Yeah, the thing that stood out for the first week and a half of the season more than anything for the Bucks was opponents were taking the same amount of shots at the rim. They were just shooting at a much higher percentage. Like up until that Knicks game, opponents were shooting better than 80% at the rim, which you don't need me to tell you that is not good. 8 out of every 10 times you take a shot that close, you're scoring. That was not the case with the Bucks before. And the reason for that is because of those blow-bys, that when they're getting their shots, they're just much easier shots. We've seen it cleaned up a little, but it continues to be a process. The whole zone play in the Bucks looked a little more comfortable and looked like their switching was better when they were playing zone. I agree with that as well. And I think, again, switching and zone are two things that take repetition and time. When we think back to, man, why weren't the Bucks doing this? And everybody pointed to the Raptors and what they did. And remember that series where Nick Nurse played box and one, and he played 2-3 zone, and he played the 1-2-1-1 zone. All of these different looks that he was throwing out there. You have to work on that. Like, zone is not something you can just say, hey, guys, we're doing zone. We never worked on it in a practice, but we're going to try zone because it's easier. You need those reps because it goes against a lot of what you do in one-on-one defense. It's still not enough time, but I think the improvements, the subtle improvements we're seeing are just because this team has started to run it more and more. They ran it for extended periods in the second half against the Nets. They did the same thing for a lot of the game today, especially in the second, third, and fourth quarters today. They did it last night against the Pistons. So you're starting to see more comfort with that zone. And I think that's something that's going to continue to improve throughout the season. But it's just going to take reps. And again, I go back to the point of we all love Andre Jackson Jr. so far. We all love Marjon Beauchamp. You're teaching them a system. You're asking Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Giannis, even Dame Lillard, but those three guys, Chris, Giannis, and Brooke especially, because of that chemistry and the amount of time they played together in one singular system, you're asking them to learn a new system. That's the big difference, is this is really the only thing those young guys know at the NBA level. And you're asking the other group, unlearn everything that you did, and we're doing this now. And that's where you see a lot of the indecisive play and that in-between. I thought Griff spoke about that a lot the other day. And that, look, that's the other thing. Again, it's not one way is right and the other isn't. You get so much from Adrian Griffin. If you just listen to what he says before the games and after, you get a lot from him. And that is not the case the previous 5 years, where some of the answers were a lot more guarded. One of those things we saw come to fruition tonight. He told us last night, and we saw it play out on the floor tonight. I'll tell you what that is after this on Bucks Talk. All right, I mentioned to Adrian Griffin and what you can get from him if you just listen to his press conferences. I went over that comment about Andre Jackson Jr. earlier when Dick was on about, I don't know when, but he'll be an important piece of our team moving forward. Could be this year, could be next year, but he's definitely a piece of our future. The other thing was yesterday, after the game, Giannis, as we all remember, gets the 2 technical fouls, and that second one was ridiculous. But Adrian Griffin was asked about it, and what did he see? What was he told? I wasn't told anything. I think I just have to do a better job. Giannis doesn't complain to the refs. I think I'm letting him down, and I need to be a little more vocal during the games when he's getting hit and stick up for him more. He's extremely respectful to the game, fans, and officials. I just got to do a better job of protecting him. That's what he told us yesterday after the game, last night after the game. And he acted on it. We didn't even get to see what was said, or we didn't get to see what happened. Because all we basically saw, the TV view, was Adrian Griffin walking off the floor. That, for all I know, maybe he just said, hey, you're going to have to kick me out. I'm going to say something, just throw me out of the game. But Giannis was getting hammered around the rim. And on that sequence specifically, he was getting whacked at. And Adrian Griffin did exactly what he said he was going to do. He joked after the game of, you know, maybe I should do it a little more politely next time so I don't get tossed. But he told us last night, I got to stick up for Giannis more. And he backed it up tonight with that ejection. We haven't touched too much on Giannis's night tonight, which is a bad job by me. 54 points from Giannis, one off his career high. Three off that franchise record that at this point seems like it's never going to fall. What do you think about how close Giannis has gotten a couple of times? Chris has gotten there. Jrue Holiday last year. And here it is. Michael Redd still clinging to that record. So when we come back, I do want to talk about just how terrific Giannis was tonight. And one of those, hey, did you know this, stats about what we've seen so far this season from Giannis. We'll get to that next on Bucks Talk. 54 points tonight from Giannis. He had 46 points through the first three quarters. As far as I can tell, that is a Bucks franchise record for points through three quarters. It is definitely a record in the modern play-by-play era. No player has scored more points through three quarters of a game for the Milwaukee Bucks. 46 that he had through those first three quarters. 45 was the previous high, which Jrue Holiday did last season against the Pacers when he scored 50 points in a game, 51 that he finished with. But Giannis was great tonight. He was very efficient, 19 of 25 from the floor, and you could see towards the end, he was definitely gassed, and I think the number was in his head, too. Because at times the Pacers were blitzing him. There's a couple of times and you could see three defenders on or near Giannis, which obviously at least one other person is going to be open. One time he tried to get it to Brook Lopez. I think the pass was a little high and Brook assumed it was to somebody behind him and it was a turnover, a big turnover with about a minute left. But Giannis overall was great tonight. The one number that I alluded to before is free throw shooting. Now, do we expect Giannis to constantly go 16 of 18 at the free throw line? No. But this season, and we talked about Dame Lillard's free throw attempts on last night's show. This season, Giannis is 56 of 82 at the free throw line. That is 68%. Still suboptimal. And you think, oh, man, here we go again. But I'm here to tell you, small sample size theater, but opening night was when it seemed like it was its most rough. He was 3 of 9 on opening night against the Sixers at the free throw line. If you take opening night out of the mix, in the seven games since that Giannis has played, he is up to 73% free throw shooting this season. And to me, 70, low 70s, that's the magic number. If he can consistently sit there, it changes everything. Because look how lethal and effective the Bucks offense was tonight. When he was scoring and when the Pacers couldn't contain him, they would foul him and he was hitting his free throws at the line. We've seen it with Dame Lillard. If you can see it with Dame Lillard and get 7 out of 10 makes from Giannis, it's going to help the offense take another step forward. We'll wrap up the show, get you set for Saturday afternoon as the Bucks head to Orlando and take on the Magic after this on Bucks Talk. All right, 57, 55, 55, 55, 54, 54, a handful of 53s, a couple of 52s, 4 51-point games, and then five more 50-point games. 22nd time in the history of the franchise that a player has scored 50 or more points. It's the 7th time Giannis has done it. Second most only to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but ultimately that 57 number still stands by Michael Redd more than 17 years ago, scoring 57 against the Utah Jazz. Bucks fall tonight in Indiana to the Pacers, but a lot of positives from this one. They look to apply those positives on the road again Saturday afternoon in Orlando, 5 o'clock tip. 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on the network. 4 o'clock is when our TMJ pregame coverage begins with yours truly on Bucks Shoot Around. We will talk to you Saturday afternoon with more Bucks basketball.